Hallelujah. So happy to be here this morning on this beautiful, warm Sunday the Lord has given us. We've gone like from winter to summer, right? We missed spring there. We're thankful to the Lord for this wonderful day that God has given us. And outside is hot, but thank the Lord for AC. How many say amen, right? I came in this morning and whoever set the thermostats had it at 66. I said, oh man, it's nippy in here this morning. I'm not throwing an indirect to whoever set them up. No, by no means. Thankful to the Lord for our team, our worship team, our musicians, those who work upstairs. And I want to say that, I checked in on the cameras early this morning about 7:30. We normally do that just to see how things are coming along. And I see Ray in here, and Ray is working. And I just want to say, and I know others do it as well, but Ray, we just want to say we appreciate you. Appreciate you. You know? He was here in his shorts and just setting things up, and he just comes to make sure that when he might have been the one who sets the thermostats, right? when we got in, that everything was ready for us. So just thank you, Ray. Just want a couple of quick announcements before we get into the word. If our young people are getting ready for Summerfest, see Pastor Robert at the end of the service so that you can register with him and let him know that you're going. I also want to mention that tonight we have our Connect service. Our Connect service, for those who may not know, it's a one-hour evening service from 7 to 8. It's a more of a contemporary service. If you know somebody who just can't make a Sunday morning service and they need a Sunday evening service, this is a wonderful service for them, and I know that they'll be blessed and encouraged. And we start promptly at 7. We finish by 8. Then we have a time of connecting in the fellowship hall for whoever wishes to stay. And we have some coffee and some dessert. And it's just a fun night, fun fellowship. We have great worship. We have an encouraging word. And now we're doing that every 3 Sundays. In the beginning of the year, we're doing it once a month. Now we're doing it every 3 Sundays. And we see that many are asking us for a little bit more of it. So we're praying and asking the Lord to lead us. And I ask that you would join us in prayer too, that the Lord would lead us as to what he wants to do with our evening service here. So that's happening tonight at 7 o'clock. If you want to invite somebody to come to church, I promise you that they'll be encouraged here with the word and with a time of worship and fellowship. And I just want to mention, we've had a beautiful week. On Friday, we had our Bible Institute graduation and promotion service. And by God's grace, our church has over 100 people in the Bible Institute studying. And that's awesome. And many of those are from our church, but our Bible Institute is a venue for all churches here in the borough of Queens. And we have English and Spanish, and it's a 4-year course. It's something wonderful. It's something that's passed down by our movement, our denomination, and it's a great thing. When I graduated and I went to study my undergrad, they gave me 30 credits because of our Bible Institute. So that's just a nice thing, and our teachers are prepared. But we had some wonderful celebration here. So if you're in the Bible Institute and you graduated or got promoted, either from first to second, second to third, third to fourth, or you graduated, just stand up. I know there's a few of you, Renee, Angelo, if you, right? Alex, right? Ruby, yes. Amen. I want to say that Ruby graduated from her 4th-year Bible Institute. She is awesome. I want to say that Renee was the honor of his class. Yeah, you know, so that's awesome. And to all those who are studying and continuing to study, and I know some of you others were also honors, continue to do it. If you're at a place in your life and you're thinking, I want the next level education, Bible education, I love Sunday school, and Friday nights, we're learning about Psalms and things, but I want to take it up a notch. Come September, you can start the Bible Institute. It's once a week, 7 to 10. There's 2 classes there. The first one is from 7 to 8:30. The second one is from 8:30 to 10. You could take one if you wish, if 2 is too much, or you could take them both. If you take them both, you'll be finished in 4 years. But you're not in a rush to finish. You're in a rush to learn. How many say amen? So I tell people, if you don't want to put too much on you, just take one. It'll take you 8 years to finish, but that's okay because you're not looking to finish. You're looking for increase. And as a teacher of the Bible Institute, I learned so much because you got to prepare and get ready and learn so much. So I just want to encourage you, pray about that. You have the summer to consider it and ask the Lord to lead you. But if you're waiting to hear a word from God, open your ears. The Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Yesterday, we had a beautiful coronation service, our girls' ministry. We saw our young girls just also get promoted from one club to another club. And it's so awesome. And I want to mention that Viviana, I don't know if she's here. Viviana, she's right up there. Viviana, stand up. I know not everybody's going to see you. But Viviana finished. She went through the whole course of girls' ministry, graduating from high school. And God has a beautiful purpose in her life. Viviana, you keep doing it, okay? Praying for her. So rainbows start at the age of five, and the girls' ministry finishes when they graduate high school, and Viviana went through that whole program. So we're just so thankful for her and continue praying for her and all our girls' ministry. And my last announcement for now is I just want to mention that next Friday we have our Father's Day banquet, and we do it every year. It's with a sports theme. Everyone is welcome to come with their Met jerseys, and we're going to have our time of fellowship, and it's a time of fellowship and eating, and no other sports teams will be allowed, right? So that's happening this Friday at 7:30. It's a fun night. Come and celebrate with us. And I just want to say, because next week is Father's Day, we have one service only. We do it with the purpose of giving time to the families to celebrate that day. So we'll have one bilingual service at 11 o'clock. That's next Friday. If you're visiting us here today, thank you so much for being with us. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. Thank you so much for being at the end of the service. Yvette is right there. She's one of the deacons of the church. I want to encourage you just to gather with her there. She's going to invite you into the office where we can just have a few minutes to talk. And then from there, she's going to take you to the lunchroom so that you can have some lunch before you go home. If you have those few extra minutes, it would be an honor for us. I'm going to invite you to stand and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to recognize Nelson Elias. Nelson, he is the gentleman right here to my right, your left. Nelson, me as a child in this church, he was our organ player. Back then we played in organ. He was our organ player for many years. We know his family and him. We love him very, very much. And it's so nice to see him with us this morning. I know he was with us last Sunday as well. God bless you, Nelson. May the Lord continue to bless your life in a wonderful way. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Today our theme is the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. If you use an app, I encourage you to turn it on. And I want to encourage you to kind of leave it there, because we're going to go back to the verse a few times. If you don't, that's fine too. You'll be able to follow along in the screens. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, the truth of the gospel. We read, I thank you, Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. For you have confirmed your word from the moment that I have entered here today, Lord. Though I have not shared it with our worship ministry and I have not shared it with Pastor Naomi, Lord, you have confirmed your word this morning. So I know without a doubt there is someone that you will speak to today. There is a life that you will alter today, O God. Without a doubt, Lord God, I know that you have prepared the atmosphere to open our hearts to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. The truth of the gospel. So, 1 Timothy, we'll notice, and we know that the Apostle Paul wrote to his spiritual son Timothy. And if you look from chapter 2 on, it's about instruction. It's about Timothy, you're a young pastor of a church. This is what you need to do. This is how you should choose leaders. This is how you should prepare worship. This is how you should prepare the home. So 2 on, it's instructions for Timothy. It's a pastoral letter. But chapter 1, he lays a foundation for Timothy that is that has nothing to do with instruction, but it's a reminder of the gospel and his faith. The first few verses to verse 11, he's talking to him, hey, be careful with false teachers. And he tells them, careful false teachers, careful of even those who speak incorrectly about the law. And then entering to verse 12 to verse 17, he tells them about the gospel. And he illustrates the gospel using his own story. And he says, I was the worst of sinners. I persecuted believers. I was violent. I was the worst of them, he says. But he says, but God, through his mercy and grace and patience, he reached me. And he says, he changed me. And he speaks about how this is the ministry of Christ to do those things. This is the gospel. And then he finishes off verse 17 with a doxology, giving God glory. And it's interesting. It talks about the height of God. It talks about the transcendence of God. But the verses before talk about the immanence of God. Talk about how God, although he is mighty and powerful, he still dwells in the hearts of people and changes people's lives. Right? So he uses this verse to talk about the truth of the gospel using his own life. And we know the story of the Apostle Paul, that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, that he was one who persecuted the church. The Bible says that in Acts 8 that he went house to house dragging men and women off and putting them in prison. He says in chapter 9 that it is said of Paul, also known as Saul in this time in chapter 9, that he would breathe out threats against the disciples of the Lord. And he even went to the high priest and got a letter to go to Damascus to be able to get men and women and drag them back to Jerusalem so that they can be incarcerated, put in jail. And we know this story, that as the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus, he is confronted with a great light and a great voice. A light that blinds him and a voice that speaks to his heart and asks him, why are you persecuting me? And we know that it's Jesus that asks him these questions. And he asks, who are you? Saul asks, and he says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuted. And he tells him, get up now and go into the city and you will do what I tell you you must do. And it's interesting because Paul persecuted the believers. And even years later, it still resonated with him. I imagine that it still bothered him. I can't believe that I did this to Christians. Even when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And you can see that he was still broken and sad. I can't believe I used to do that. You know how many times has that happened to us? When we reflect in our new life and we look back at who we used to be, and we go, man, I can't believe I used to do those ugly things. Right? It still resonates with us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is the only one that can throw things into the sea of forgetfulness, but we still remember them sometimes. Thank God that he does not. But it's a reminder to us where God has taken us from and what he's doing currently in our lives. And even the Apostle Paul had to deal with some of this. Even in 1 Timothy, he writes again saying, I was the worst, but God reached out to me. So this is the Apostle Paul. You know, some would say he had no right to be saved. But we know the grace of God. A wretched man he was, one that hurt the church, and Christ reaches him and transforms and changes his life. Perhaps there's someone here today who feels like Paul felt. You know, I had no right to be saved. I was a bad person. I was a womanizer. I was a drunk. I was addicted to different things. I was deceitful. I was one that did whatever I wanted to do for my own gain. I was lustful. I was sensual. I did what I did because it pleased me. Why would God want to have changed me? And God's grace and God's mercy reached us. Maybe there's some of us here today who remember who we used to be. And like Paul, we're thankful for God's mercy and God's grace. Many of us here today, we can relate to some of the words of Paul. We didn't persecute the church, but we were transformed and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And perhaps there's someone here today who feels like Paul felt. And maybe there's someone here today who says, could I really be changed? Could I really go through a transformation? I've been in church some time, and things haven't really always changed for me. Or maybe I'm new, or maybe I've just come in, or maybe today is your first day. And the question is there really hope for me? The truth of the gospel tells us that Jesus can change anybody. How many say amen? Looking at this story, I want to share with you three observations. Looking at these verses, thinking of the life of the Apostle Paul, I want to share with you three observations. The first one is, God will extend himself to anyone. Verse 15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This teaches us that God will extend himself to anyone. Paul declares that he is the worst of sinners. He declares that if Christ can save him, he can save anyone. Perhaps there's someone here today who says, I'm no saint. Can Christ really save and change me? Maybe there's someone here today who says, I'm ashamed of what I've done, of the way that I'm living. I'm ashamed of my decisions. I want to let you know that Christ can reach you here today. Some may feel like they're too far from God. No, I want to tell you today that you are not too far from God. I want to tell you today that maybe there are some things that are oppressing you, but Christ can reach you here today and bring change to your life. I want to share with you that the scripture teaches us with regard to people, God has changed. And you remember in Mark chapter 5, there was this demon-possessed man. And the Bible says that this man had legions, many demons in him. In fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that he lived in the tombs, right? And that he often had been chained, but he would break the chains himself. There was times that they tried to control him because the Bible says that he would take rocks and hurt himself. He was so possessed. So ruined by these demons. He had a spiritual warfare. The Bible says that no one was strong enough to subdue him. The Bible says that during the evening, he would walk the tomb that night and he would speak. You would hear him crying out in loud voices and cutting himself. He was an outcast to his community. No one wanted anything to do with him because of his oppression, because of his possession, being possessed. But the Bible says that Jesus extended himself to this possessed man. And in verse 15 of Mark 5, it says, and the people went out to see what happened, talking about this man. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by legions of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Right? Jesus extended himself to a demon-possessed man. Maybe you're dealing with some chains in your life. Maybe you're dealing with spiritual warfare in your life. Maybe there's principalities and spiritual demons that are attacking you, trying to keep you from sleep or keeping you captive to something. I want to tell you here today that it doesn't matter what addiction you may be struggling with, what spiritual battle you may be struggling with. I want to let you know here today that there is no chain that Jesus cannot break. I want to let you know today that although Satan may have you bound, Jesus can set you free. The Bible says, The Bible says the words of Jesus himself, when he quotes Isaiah, Jesus himself says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners. Jesus is saying, my mission here is to set you free. That's why the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So today, the truth of the gospel reminds us that Jesus can reach anybody. He extends himself to all people. And if you're battling with something in the spirit world, Jesus can break the chains. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. And I want to remind you here today, as a church, our job is to fast and pray, because there's some things that have been entrusted to us that we will not be able to overcome unless we're spirit-filled and ready to overcome those things in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you here today. If you're visiting us, if you're here, maybe you've been in church a long time, but there's something still oppressing you. Today, the Lord is speaking to you that he extends himself to you. And the church says, amen. Amen. So Jesus extends himself to anybody, to those who are going through spiritual battles. And then he extends himself to those who are battling in the flesh. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector? He was a traitor to his own people. He was a robber, a thief. He was one that was looked at as an outcast in his community. Although a Jew, he wasn't received by the Jew because he had partnered with the Roman government as a tax collector. And one day he hears that Jesus is coming into the city, and he climbs a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, Zacchaeus, down from there. Today I will go and I will eat in your home. And Jesus was reaching and extended a man who was struggling with fleshly things. Things of our own battle, of our own flesh, of our own carnal nature. And maybe it was Zacchaeus' desire for money. Maybe his spirit of deceit. Maybe it was him not caring about community. There was things in his own character, his own personality, that God was letting him know, I'm going to extend myself to you in the midst of your weaknesses and in the midst of your struggles. He had flesh issues. His love for money, his desire for power, his desire for fame, his desire for authority could have kept him far from God. But Jesus extends himself to this man, Zacchaeus, in the midst of his weaknesses. Yeah. Maybe you're here today and your weakness is not spiritual, where there's oppression, but you deal with your own flesh and you cannot enjoy the gospel because of those battles that you have. Maybe it's the passion for the American dream that has captured your mind and thought. Maybe it's the desire for more money. Maybe it's fame, authority. Maybe ministry has captured your mind so much that you forgot about the gospel and you made ministry your gospel. It could be anything that has to do with your flesh, battles with lust, desires of the carnal nature. And God is telling you today, Christ is speaking to your heart today and says, it's not enough to keep us apart. I still extend myself to you. So maybe you're here today. The truth of the gospel is, if this is your battle, well, Jesus reaches you as well this morning. Well, maybe your battle's not spiritual. And maybe the Lord has given you good disciplines in your life. You're just a common person. You know that the apostles, the disciples, many of them were just common folk. In fact, the Bible says that they were not learned men. They were fishermen. Maybe some of them were carpenters and helped Jesus. Right? We know that others had their role, but many of them were common folk, but they were unsatisfied with their life. Jesus calls Peter while he's cleaning empty nets, unsatisfied in his condition, right? And he calls them to come follow him, and they leave everything at the shore to follow Jesus. Maybe you're just a common man or a common woman here today, and you're not battling with too many things, thank God, but you know that there's something that's missing in your life, and that is a strong relationship with your Creator, and that is found only through receiving the extension of Jesus' love for your life this morning. Jesus said this, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So maybe today there's someone here today who says, that's me. Not struggling with crazy things in this world, but I know that I'm missing something. what Jesus extends himself to us this morning. How many say amen? Amen. So our first reflection this morning is that God will extend himself to anyone. Our second observation this morning is, how does God extend himself to us? And there's three words in these verses that I want to share. Two of them I talked about often, but they're so important to the gospel. And it's mercy, grace, and patience. He extends himself towards us through mercy, grace, and patience. When we understand these words, we understand a little bit more of how God extends himself to us. See, verse 13, Paul says, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. God is merciful towards us. I was shown mercy. That means that God extended himself to us by showing us mercy, by showing us this blessing that says that he will not punish us for what we deserve to be punished. It means that God is not punishing us for our sins deserved. It means that he will show us compassion, right? It means that he will be kind, forgiving what our treatment should be, but he will not treat us harshly. It's a clemency. It's a disposition to show mercy, especially towards the one that has been offended. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. So how does he extend himself to us? By telling us, look, although the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, you won't have to pay that price of death. I'll show you mercy. You won't have to pay what you should be paying. I'm going to show you mercy. Yes, I know that you always haven't done the right thing, and you probably should be punished for the way that you lived, but mercy is that I'm going to remove the punishment from you, and I'm going to give you my love. That is mercy. And he extends himself towards us by saying mercy. In many other religions, you got to do something to receive the blessing. You got to do something to receive that redemption. But Jesus says, I will strictly offer you my love that will release you from the punishment that you have had. How many say amen? And that's what we deserve. See, we deserve death. We deserve the lake of fire. We deserve these things, but God has shown us mercy. This is how God extends himself to us. And I love that the psalmist said it this way, Psalm 103:10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The apostle Peter in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in Luke 1 says his mercies are extended from generation to generation. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That he approaches us. And you may be here today and you're saying, really, do I deserve it? Should I have it? Well, God says, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to remove what you do deserve and I'm going to give you my love. That's God's mercy. That's how he extends himself towards us. And I love that the Apostle Paul includes not only mercy, but grace. In verse 14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And I love this. I love that Jesus says, not only will I show you mercy, but I'll show you grace. And we know that grace is getting what we don't deserve. It's his unmerited favor. It's God blessing us with something that we shouldn't have. It's God giving us something that we shouldn't have. It's his grace. See, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. God giving us what we shouldn't have. We don't deserve the love of Jesus, but he gave it to us anyway. We don't deserve the cross, but he loved us anyway. The mere fact that you're here today is God's grace that is reaching out to you, right? We don't deserve another chance. We don't deserve to be forgiven and fail, forgiven and fail, forgiven and fail, get up again. We don't deserve that. So what gives us the right? Grace reaches us. We get what we don't deserve. That's why if you're here today and you have messed up, if you're here today and you have failed God, get up again. Fix yourself. Girdle your loins because there's grace for you today. So if you have messed up, if you have let God down, don't dwell in your sin. The Bible says that the righteous man will fall
seven times and get up again. It's the wicked that is lost in his sin. Don't dwell in the abyss of sin and shame and brokenness. No, get up again and receive the grace that God has for you, because you belong to Jesus. This is the truth of the gospel that we have. And I love that the Apostle Paul here includes, and this is my favorite part of these three verses for this sermon, patience. That he these three words for the sermon, patience. I love that in verse 16 it says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Not only is he merciful and gracious towards us, but he's also has been patient with us, right? Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Yeah. He's patient. That's why in our worst times, in our lowest times, Jesus did not reject us. That's why when we were so lost in our sin, in our shame, in our brokenness, he just did not take our lives. But he was patient with us. Although we didn't deserve it, he showed us his mercy and his grace by being patient with us. And he's always calling us. And he's trying to speak to us different ways. Why? Because he's patient with us. That's why a lot of times when God is dealing with us, and we're not adhering to what he's saying, you know, he uses a family member to tell us something, and we know that it's God. And then he uses somebody in church to tell us, and we know that it's God. You know, someone invites us to church out of nowhere. We know that it's God. We have a dream, and we're like, where, you know? And we know that this is God being patient with us, dealing with us different ways. We turn on the radio and there's a sermon that speaks to our heart, a song that ministers to us. We go on social media and somebody drops something that we go, man, is that for me? You know, and we see it. Why? That's God being patient with us, altering our lives, helping us to alter, to make changes, to let us know that he is attentive to us. I love that we are reminded always that even in our lowest times, Jesus is always willing to receive us. And that's him being patient. You know, we have the doctrine of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, where people feel like, oh, well, that's it. You know, God just cast you out. But if there's an inkling of a desire in you to know about God, then you have never committed that sin. And you can always draw closer to God. Anyone who has committed that sin is someone who never would be interested in God again. But if you have an inkling in your heart to know God, that means he is extending his mercy, his grace, and being patient to you this morning in your life. How many say amen? Amen. So as we hear the words of the Apostle Paul this morning, and we are reminded that God extends himself to all people. How does he extend himself? Well, he extends himself through mercy, through grace, and through patience. And why does God extend himself to us? Why would he do this? Because verse 15 tells us, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Why does God extend himself to us? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And each and every one of us, without Christ, we are sinners. And he came into this world to save us. The Bible teaches us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Matthew 10:28, even as the Son of Man comes not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The mission of Jesus is to save humanity, is to save the sinner. Only Jesus can save the sinner. And some would say, But save us from what? What is he saving us from? I want to tell you here today, make no mistake of it. There is a hell. There is a place for those who do not choose Christ. Make no mistake of it. Not everyone will make it to heaven. Not everyone will make it to heaven. And I know that's a message of doom. But the Bible teaches us that not everyone will get there. But God's mercy, God's grace, God's patience is reaching all people and have reached us even here today. You know, many argue about what hell is, and some say it's a place of torment, another place, others say it's a place of sleep, others say it's a place of separation. There's different theology with regard to hell, and we have our theology with regard to hell. But the reality is this, I want nothing to do with hell, no matter what theology it is, right? And we know that everybody, regardless of their theology, they all agree that there is a hell and it is a bad place, right? So we know this. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I have become all things, the Apostle Paul writes, to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some, indicating not everybody will choose, not everybody will make a decision. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody will get in. Jesus says in Matthew 24:40, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken, the other will be left. Not everyone will make it. And you know what saddens me? The words of Jesus that says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. Could it be that there's some of us here today that we got religion down good, but our relationship is lost? Could it be that there's some here today that worshiped with us and raised their hands, but yet you know that deep in your heart you are separated from God, and God is being patient with you, showing you mercy and grace? Could it be here? This is the truth of our gospel, that Jesus came to save all of us. And I want to tell you that one day the trumpet will sound, the church will be lifted up again. We'll find ourselves in the cloud. Whether that will happen in this generation or not, I don't know. Every generation has waited for Jesus. But like I have said before here, we are people that will live like if Jesus is coming today, and we will live like if he's not going to come in our lifetime. We will live like he's going to come today, consecrated, holy, passionate for Jesus. And if he doesn't come in our lifetime, then we'll be great soldiers for the kingdom of God all the days of our lives. And what an honor that would be to be able to live for Jesus all the days of our lives. Soldier for the kingdom of God. But today, I remind you that God extends himself to everyone. As I get ready to close our sermon this morning, the truth of the gospel is this: there's no one too far that God can't reach. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some spiritual struggles, like the man in Mark chapter 5, spiritual battles in your life, where you're like, I need liberation. I need broken chains in my life. I want to tell you that Jesus extends himself to you. Maybe you're battling with some flesh issues. You're battling with sensual things and greed, and you're battling with these other things, and they have you captive. And you know that you need to refocus your life. I want to tell you today that Jesus extends himself to you. Maybe you're just common folk, but there's an emptiness in you that says, there's got to be more. Well, Jesus extends himself to you. And someone will say, well, how does he extend himself? Mercy. The Bible teaches us that because of our sinful state, we are lost without Christ. There will be a time when all those will have to stand and hold account for themselves, and only the redeemed will have a free pass. Only the redeemed will not have to give account for their past sins. Because Jesus paid that price on the cross. He's merciful towards us. He's gracious towards you. When you look at your family and you look at all that God has allowed you to obtain, and even that you're here today, the words that are being spoken to your heart this evening, this afternoon or morning, it's God's grace that speaks to you. And why are you here? Because God has been patient with you. He has not rejected you. But even in the midst of our brokenness, He has drawn us closer. Why? It's Jesus' mission to save the world. Because one day this will all pass away. But God's word will not pass away. Why? Because He's called to save us. Our time on this earth is like a vapor. You see it now, but then it disappears. But our time with Jesus is eternal. And He's called to save us. And you know what I love about these verses in 1 Timothy chapter 12, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I hope that you would mark them in your Bible, and I hope when you read them in the future, it will remind you of the truth of the gospel. But I love the doxology in which it finishes, where he says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And I love that the Apostle Paul finishes chapter 1 with this prayer. And he's saying to the King eternal, to the immortal, the one that will never die, invisible, one that we cannot see, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. And I love that he's saying, although he is transcendent, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, he's still immanent. Although he's so far, yet he's so close. And he finishes this thought saying, this is the truth of the gospel, that our God, he's here, he's in heaven, but he's also here to dwell in our hearts and live within us forever. So if you're here today, and you know that God is speaking to you, this is the truth of the gospel. Others want to tell you that if you come to church and Jesus, you're going to get money and things are going to go better and your marriage is going to be fixed and your children are going to be the best children that they can be. Well, that's not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus receives you in your broken state. No matter what your battle is, spiritual, physical, or mental, He'll receive you just the way you are. He shows you this by offering you mercy, grace, and being patient with you. And His objective is not your happiness, but your salvation. That's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen. If you received the teaching, give God a hand clap here today. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. So I know that this is a very evangelistic message. I know that it's a message that could be shared on Friend Day. But the Lord stirred it up in my heart this morning for us. And perhaps you're here today and you know that God is speaking to you. You know that maybe you're like that guy in Mark 5. You're lost in the tombs. You're living by dead things. You're living by dead things, and God is extending Himself to you and says, there's no chain that I can't break. There's no oppression I can't liberate you from. Maybe you're here today and you're like Zacchaeus. I just want to have success in this world. And you know that you're missing something. Or maybe you're just in need of someone to fill the gap in your life. Jesus extends Himself to you. No one offers mercy like Jesus does. No one. We can never be as merciful as Jesus has been with us. That's why we're challenged to be merciful. No one extends grace like He does. And no one is patient as He is. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord is talking to you and he's saying, it's time to make some changes. I'm speaking to you, telling you that I'm going to receive you just the way that you are. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to invite you to be bold. God in his mercy and his grace has set aside this morning to change your life forever. If you're here today and you know that you need Jesus, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. For the church that's here, this is the truth of the gospel that we live and believe. And let us live it passionately. Let us live it passionately. Let it be our heart, our heartbeat. Let it be our desire. Let us not make the gospel anything else. But let us make it the truth of the gospel that shows Jesus came to save a lost world. Maybe you as a believer, you're here. And over time, you have altered what the truth of the gospel has been for you, and you're missing out. And the Lord is speaking to you to revive what is dead, to move what is stagnant, to bring to life what has no motion in you. And the Lord is speaking to you this morning, and you want a prayer of faith to help you get closer to God and enjoy the truth of the gospel. As we sing this next song, the altar is also open for you this morning. I'm going to ask our pastors, deacons, help us here at the altar. Hallelujah. My soul longs
and even faith. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.